again to Tina. Happy New Year. Yes. And she will be here next time you come and visit. And thank you, Deborah, for being here also. We've had a wonderful show.
Happy New Year, all.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st, after the Women's March, starting at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club in Portland. This 21 and over event features Jen O of Strange Babes, KBOO's DJ Anjali, and Casual Aztec, as well as performances and more. Again, that's Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club, 315 Southeast 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information on the event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In Oregon, a person with mental illness can be charged with a nonviolent crime and end up in a jail cell for months in a deteriorating mental state and without restorative treatment. Tune into Prison Pipeline on January 9th to hear Disability Rights Oregon's proposed legislation that will help people with mental illness who become entangled with the criminal justice system. That's Prison Pipeline, January 9th at 6:30 p.m.
Sometimes you see that I'm mad. Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are
good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma Lugo. I am one of five co-hosts on Prison Pipeline. And tonight we're going to be talking about Guantanamo, 14 years of torture prison, and what we can do to urge President Obama to close Guantanamo before he leaves office January 20th. My guests tonight are with Amnesty International. To my studio right, we have Marty Frommer. We also have Megan Harrington and Max White. Megan Harrington Wilson is the local rep for Amnesty Local 48. Marty Frommer is a specialist in Indonesia and the subject of torture. And Max White is the area representative for Amnesty International.
Yeah, last two reversed, but that's okay.
Okay, thank you so much. Welcome, y'all. If you'd like to introduce yourselves real quick.
Sure, and thank you so much for having us, Emma. So again, my name is Megan Harrington Wilson, and I am the local group coordinator for Amnesty International's local chapter. And we meet monthly and take actions on human rights issues. And Marty, I'll let you introduce yourself.
My name is Marty Frommer. I'm the area coordinator for Oregon, and I've worked with Amnesty since 1992.
And I'm Max White, and I've also worked with Amnesty since Marty has, 1992. I'm what's called a country specialist. I specialize in human rights issues in Indonesia and East Timor. And I have to say, I'm really pleased to be on this particular program. I like the program. And we all were sitting having pizza and appreciating KBOO together. Yes, so it's really great to be here.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. So we're going to start by just talking about Guantanamo. If someone can give us a primer on what is Guantanamo.
Oh, sure. So Guantanamo is a detention facility that was opened up after after 9/11, basically, to try to capture, you know, at the time the idea was to capture Al-Qaeda forces and safely secure them somewhere where they wouldn't be a harm to us. People may be aware there was an authorization for use of military force issued that covered those activities, and then it was dramatically expanded to cover a lot of different activities and expanded beyond Al-Qaeda and beyond the, you know, any geographical boundaries. So we were basically able to use it to, you know, kidnap people from all over the world. We considered the entire world the battlefield in the war on terror, and then bring them to this location that's stationed in Cuba on land that we're technically leasing from Cuba. We pay them a tiny amount in a check every month, and they don't cash the checks because they're angry about it. So we have this huge military base there, and part of that military base is a detention facility where we're able to keep what we call enemy combatants. And in 780 detainees have been there since 2003, and almost all of them have been released because they were not charged with any crimes and they weren't found guilty of anything. And there's been a lot of evidence to suggest that people, as Max was saying earlier tonight, people were picked up on the battlefield because they were turned in maybe by a cousin who was angry at them, or there were maybe tribal differences, and the U.S. actually had a bounty out to look for suspected terrorists. So yeah, almost all the people who we've had there over the last 15 years have not actually committed any crimes, and certainly not any terrorism.
But there have been a certain number of people there that are bad guys.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
There's 10 people who were the designers of 9/11. And so what we'll do with those folks and the rules that we will try them by has just been a complete mess, because it's not in the United States and it's not in an international court. We've had to develop a whole new set of law strictly for Guantanamo Bay. And the United States has spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's a figure that Obama claims, on this prison, and will continue to spend until it's closed.
And that's a really good point, Marty, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because it's not just about, although for me it is primarily about detaining and even torturing innocent people that we've abducted for 15 plus years, indefinite detention without trial, but it's also about the total lack of justice for the victims of 9/11 and their families, who have been wanting to see an open, transparent a procedure and trial for the 9/11 attackers, and instead what they've seen is decades of just nothing happening. So we have no justice, and we have, you know, on either side.
So what happens is that we have these men in Guantanamo Bay, but we cannot bring them to the United States because Congress blocks them from coming here. So we can't try them with our laws. The congressional delegation feels that we cannot hold these people safely in the United States, which is a complete farce. We have terrorists in jails all over the country.
Great. So let's talk about torture for a minute, because we haven't had a chance yet to hear from you, Max. You specialize in the subject of torture. Can you tell us why the subject of torture is specific to Guantanamo?
Well, my experience with torture, I mean, with the idea of torture started, that was why I came into Amnesty. Torture, to me, is the problem hell. That's the title of a book, by the way, by Samantha Power, who is our current the U.S. representative of the UN. So the very idea of torture really bothered me, and that's why I got involved with Amnesty. However, my particular experience was in East Timor, and a lot of listeners to KBU, and like most media, may actually have heard of East Timor. East Timor became an independent country in 99, and I was there. I have friends in East Timor and met people in East Timor who were tortured. And what I know is that torture is, to me, the problem from hell, but it not only essentially destroys lives of the people being tortured, but strangely enough, also the torturers. There's an awful lot of evidence that the people here in the United States that work at Guantanamo are experiencing PTSD and experiencing serious problems. And so Torture is a central issue for Amnesty and Amnesty International and other human rights. But for me, it's a personal issue, as I say, because I have seen the effects of Indonesia, in Indonesia and East Timor, of torture as a regular thing. And I have to say this final thing. I'm an old man. I'm older than everybody sitting here. And I used to believe the United States did not torture people. Now, I know now, frankly, that that was partly the reason I believe that was because I was not a black in prison. But actually, we have a reputation of opposing torture. And pretty much all of the prisoners that are being held in Guantanamo now have been tortured by the United States. And it disappoints me, and that's an understatement, to know that our military and our people employ torture. The people who know about torture realize it is not an effective means of getting at the truth. But there has been a drumbeat of increasing enthusiasm for it over time. So at one time, there was about 46% of people believe that maybe torture would find the truth in a bad situation. As we sit here tonight, of the U.S. population, more than 50, maybe 60% of people believe, oh yeah, we should be able to torture people. And of course, one of the people who's verbally in favor of that is the new president-elect. And so it is a very hot-button issue for you, and I appreciate you asking about it. It's not the only issue, but it is absolutely central to the prisoners at Guantanamo.
You know, you bring up something that's really interesting about President-elect Trump that I think hasn't really been discussed much in the media, which is, and this is the first time I've heard about this, that President-elect Trump favors torture as a policy for acquiring information as part of our national security policy, which is really scary. I mean, there's already so many things that are just, you know, horrifying about the Trump administration, but like that's really kind of one of the most horrifying things I've heard. So thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Before we go any further, I want to make sure that we have a chance to announce, because we want to announce this several times tonight, that there is going to be a demonstration. Would you like to talk about that, Megan?
Oh, sure. Actually, I think, you know, Marty and Max have been involved in this for a while longer. I can say that we have a longstanding partnership with Peace and Justice Works locally, and this is a co-sponsored event, and maybe I'll let you guys introduce it.
The event's going to take place January 11th at the east end of the Hawthorne Bridge between 4 and 5:30, and the purpose is to end the Guantanamo installation and get out of Gitmo.
So between 4 o'clock and 5:30, you're invited to join us. We'll be standing there holding signs. Do you have to bring a sign? Will there be signs for you?
There'll be signs and there'll be flyers.
There'll be signs and flyers.
And there's quite a large traffic comes by. That's a deliberate time why it's always worked. We've been there before. I actually like trying to pass out flyers to cars that are going by. Can I say one other thing about this visibility issue? I have in front of me a statement by the person who's in charge of all of the defense of the members that are in Guantanamo, the military guy who has a team. And one of the things that he suggests is that Guantanamo is not much in the public eye now because of everything else in the news. He feels it's very strong, that it's very important to remind people of Guantanamo. And so hundreds of people are going to go by that intersection and see our signs, see the people there, and will be reminded about what's going on in Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a handful of orange jumpsuits, so there may be an extra one if anyone wants to come and put on an orange jumpsuit.
So just in case people don't understand, why would we be wearing orange jumpsuits at a Guantanamo Bay?
Oh, purpose? Thank you for asking. So, you know, most people, even if they have very little exposure to Guantanamo, the exposure they will have is generally news media. And, you know, most people have seen some kind of clips, photographs of just detainees. You never see their faces walking around, you know, metal cages, which is what, you know, the first facility there at Guantanamo looked like. It was an open metal cage outside. And this has become a really powerful symbol around the world unfortunately, not only for peace activists who want to call attention to Guantanamo, the orange jumpsuit's the easiest way to do that because it's such a highly recognizable symbol, but also, unfortunately, for terrorists around the world who want to rally jihadists to their cause. You see time and again in jihadist videos where they want to, you know, decapitate or otherwise kill a Westerner, they often dress them in the classic Guantanamo orange jumpsuit. And what they're basically saying is that, you know, the United States, you know, violates human rights and that we target Muslims and that, you know, that they have every right to fight back. And I do not by any means agree with them, and I certainly don't condone violence, but it is awful to see that Guantanamo is such a powerful symbol in the recruitment of terrorists to further instigate violence around the world.
Guantanamo has often been called the best recruiting tool for ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
And Obama has said that, actually.
Obama himself. It's a recruiting tool.
Yeah, my first experience with the orange jumpsuit was in 2003, I think it was, after the beginning of the Iraq War. I was in Nashville, and we were holding regular demonstrations in Nashville, and one of the members of our group, a man named Ahmed, dressed in the orange jumpsuit.
Wow.
And was demonstrating out on the street. Interestingly, he got caught in an FBI sting about a year later, similar to the kind of sting that happened to Mahmoud here in Portland, and he was sentenced to prison for 7 years for getting caught up in the sting. That it was very unclear what his role was. I mean, it was obviously a sting that was set up by the FBI. It was an entrapment, and he was sent to prison for 7 years, and then he was shipped to Iraq.
Wow.
And I don't know what happened to him.
Oh.
But let's also talk, one of the things that we were saying at the beginning of this, let's talk about President Obama for a minute, move the conversation from President Trump to President Obama. You are saying, I think it's a claim that some people may find kind of incredulous, and that's that we should petition President Obama still, while he's still in office now, to close Guantanamo Bay. Now, this was a campaign promise that he made in 2007 and 2008.
That's right.
That he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, and it's still open. So why would he close it now?
Well, it will be very difficult to close it now because of the recent Department of Defense bill that just passed last week. It made it illegal to bring the detainees to the United States once again. And so there will be no funds to have them here. And for the really difficult people, they will not be anywhere else but Guantanamo Bay. So it will be a large task to expect the prison to close under the current judicial system.
Right. But you're asking us to petition President Obama in the last 2 weeks of his term to close Guantanamo.
Yeah, so I'm interested in what Max has to say on the subject, because he seems to have a ray of hope over there. Mm-hmm. For me and what I've read, it sounds like, so just in the last week, Obama has secured the approval for transfer of 17 to 19 additional detainees, and this is out of 59 remaining detainees. So that it's almost definite that he will successfully transfer to a number of countries. He's got detainees going to Italy, Oman, Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates. That he'll be able to transfer those detainees before the end of his term. But at least in my opinion, and Max, I'm very interested to hear what your thoughts are on this, but you know, the remaining 40 prisoners, the bulk of those are what's called, you know, forever prisoners, these indefinite detention detainees, which, by the way, is something that Obama invented during his 2 terms in office, which is completely a violation of international human rights, to say, no, we don't have enough evidence against you to ever bring you to trial, but we're never going to let you go. That's unacceptable. So the vast majority of the 40...
And that from a constitutional
yes,
lawyer.
That's, thank you, yes, who I still love in mm-hmm. a complicated way. But so he, you know, the 40 that are remaining, there's no clear path for where they can go. And Marty has said, you know, again and again, and I don't want to blame everything on Congress, because a lot of the blame really does lie at, unfortunately, at Obama's feet for not closing the facility and not taking the bold moves that he needed to take, especially early on in his tenure. But you know, Congress has put up roadblock after roadblock, and part of what they do is in the National Defense Authorization Act that they have to issue in order for the Defense Department to have funding, they keep putting a rider in there that says that no detainees will ever be allowed to come to the United States. This is problematic because Obama's strategy for those forever detainees, which actually Amnesty International and all other human rights organizations would have had a huge problem with, is to move those forever detainees domestically to high security, maximum security prisons.
Like Florence?
Thank you. Yeah. And so the problem with that, of course, is that you're saying, yes, of course, forever detainees, you know, indefinite detention is normalized. We'll do it even on our own soil. But at least it allows us to shut down the facility and start looking at other options. But of course, domestically, we're terrified of terrorism. And it's, you know, no way will we ever have these bad guys on our soil since
even
we don't
have... Even though we're like the greatest perpetrators of terrorism in
the world. And that we don't have already scary bad guys on our soil that are perfectly well taken care of and safe in these maximum security prisons. So I don't really see how it would be possible to deal with those 40 remaining detainees. And also 10 of those detainees are slated for trial or are in some stage of military trial, military commissions, and those proceed at an insanely slow snail's pace, and those aren't going to be resolved either. And those people, even the ones on trial, can't be moved to the United States soil because of that, the National Defense Authorization Act. So Max, tell me why you have hope.
Well, I have hope because of my own experience. And when I say I have hope, that is not part of my personality typically, but I'm going to try to say this very quickly. I spent many years working on the issue of East Timor becoming independent from Indonesia. I have a lot of friends that did. We had long conversations over the years, and in our hearts of hearts, we did not believe we would ever see a free East Timor. East Timor is an independent country now. Stuff happens that you cannot predict.
And Timor was devastating. There were hundreds of thousands of people murdered.
I'm glad you know about that, Emma.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that, and I know the history and I can't review it here, but I'm just saying that these are very strange times. I don't have to persuade any of you of that. And strange things can happen. And so I agree that on the surface, everything that we look at, this is impossible. Guantanamo can't be closed. But I have seen a case where we all, the smartest people dealing with East Timor, we all knew there was no way it was going to become independent. It did.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I just want to remind folks again that there's going to be a demonstration. It's going to be on Wednesday, January 11th from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's going to be at the intersection of Martin Luther King, at Grand and Hawthorne. And that's organized by Peace and Justice Works. And it's to call for President Obama in the last week or so of his administration to close Guantanamo Bay. 14 years of torture is too much. And so we really hope you'll come out and join us. It's a really important event. And it's being organized by Peace and Justice Works and Amnesty International. So let's go back to the topic of the 42 prisoners that are left. So I know that some people feel like some of those prisoners should never, you know, even see the light of day. People like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and people who, like, they consider to be principal architects of 9/11. Sure. But, you know, even after World War II, when Nuremberg happened, there was, like, a procedure.
Oh,
and
good
it was
point.
A quick, and it was a swift justice. It may not have been, you know, I mean, as someone who's a pacifist, I could not support execution, you know, or torture. But, you know, the point is that there was a process, and a lot of people, a lot of people got sent to prison, and there was some kind of a justice. But with 9/11, like you were saying, people who were victims have not had a chance to see any kind of a justice. So what can we do to remedy that situation? There hasn't even been one trial.
Right. I think so that's what Marty was speaking to earlier, is that they've created this separate, entirely separate process that's kind of a weird hybrid of our usual court procedures in the United States and then a military tribunal, you know, what you would use for prosecuting war crimes or maybe people who've gone AWOL, you know. And so they, we've created a hybrid that they had to make up from scratch. And part of the reason that it's taken 8 years for the 9/11 trials to move forward is that they're just arguing over that's the entire reason. They're just arguing over the procedures. And it's going back and forth and back and forth before they can ever actually get the trial on the ground. I think there could be pressure applied to Obama and to the incoming administration to say there is no reason why our usual domestic court procedures cannot be used for these detainees. They work really well. We've brought terrorists to trial successfully. We've convicted terrorists domestically in our own court systems. We've put them away in maximum security prisons for life. It's successful. Nobody's been in danger during that process. And that it moves much more quickly. And I think, you know, if we trust our own court system, which I believe we do as a nation, it's our most popular democratic institution here in the United States. Why don't we let them handle it? I think that would finally bring justice to the 9/11 families.
One of the big problems is that there was a report done in 2014, the use of torture report. This was a 7,000-page report. And the public was not allowed to see this because of security issues. And so they release a 525-page summary. And when these trials start, they start introducing evidence that, well, we can't release that evidence because that's not allowed. That's high security. And so they go back and forth, and so the defense attorneys and the prosecutors, both paid for by our government, go back and forth, and nothing is allowed to be entered as evidence.
That's right. Yeah, the lack of transparency has really been the main problem with finding justice for any acts of terrorism committed against the United States, because the government holds its information so secret, and it really wants to be able to bring any information it can against the people who are on trial, and it wants to withhold as much information as possible that might be in favor of those who are on trial, and that, of course, is by its very nature leads to an unfair trial.
Obama said he's going to declassify the information with his letters in 2029.
Well, what he said is that the Senate Intelligence Committee under Dianne Feinstein at the time released a single copy of the full Senate report on torture to a couple of the major, you know, so to the DOD, the State Department, Department of Justice, and to the Intelligence Committee, and to the CIA. The CIA has inadvertently destroyed their copy, so that's unclear how that happened. What Obama has said is that he plans to keep his copy that he has in his presidential library, but because it's classified, it would not be available to the public. So that would be the most likely copy that we would ever see, is the one that's going into his presidential library, because all of the other copies are going to come under the Trump administration and very likely would be destroyed. President Obama plans to keep his copy, which is nice of him, but we won't be able to see it until 2029 when it becomes declassified.
Mm-hmm. So we have about 3 minutes left in our show. We just want to remind people that on next Wednesday, January 11th, there is going to be a demonstration. It's going to be to end torture and close Guantanamo Bay, which has been open for 14 years, going into its 15th year. That's going to be at the intersection of Grand and Hawthorne. So parking, it's kind of a little tricky in that neighborhood. If you can, try to take public transit or walk or bike. But there's parking, you know, within maybe a 2 or 3 block walk of that neighborhood. And there will be signs there, so you don't need to bring a sign. But if you want to, please come join us. We're expecting a pretty good turnout. And our message, what is our message?
Well, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Max. I was just trying to remember what the actual official banner title we decided on was with Dan Handelman. I think it's, you know, 15 years of, yeah, stop 15 it. Years of that.
Yeah, it's 15 years is enough. Close Guantanamo now.
And 15 years of human rights abuses at Guantanamo. Shut it down. Shut it down. And we want it shut down. And this is addressed not just to Obama, it's addressed to the president-elect.
And to Congress.
And to Congress. It can be done, and it cannot be done when Guantanamo is invisible. And so what we want to do is bring visibility once more to this crime that the United States is committing, international crime recognized pretty much by every country that this is a criminal act to be holding these people I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm. Emma, can I also just make one plug? So people may not be aware. I know people see Amnesty International as a major advocacy organization. They're not always aware that there are local groups that have opportunities for local people to get involved. So if anyone, especially in this new Trump era, is feeling like, hey, you know, I want to get involved in a way I haven't before, good. I just want to welcome anyone who's interested. We meet once a month on the second Friday of every
Thursday.
Month. Oh, we just changed it. Thank you. We've moved it to the second Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. at First Unitarian Church. You can find us aipdx.org, and we also have a Facebook page and a Twitter page. But feel free to come and get involved. We write letters on a lot of different human rights issues, including Guantanamo Bay, and we get involved like with this partnership with Peace and Justice Works. It's a great way to kind of plug into human rights work in Portland.
So that's the downtown First Unitarian Universalist
that's
Church.
That
1011 Southwest 12th.
Right, and that's the first Thursday of every month.
Second
Thursday of every month at 7:30.
Yeah, and we're all really nice people.
Great. And we can find you online at Amnesty International Portland.
Yeah, you could Google Amnesty International Portland. You can find us directly at aipdx.org.
Aipdx.org. Great. Well, I would like to thank our guests tonight, Megan Harrington Wilson, Max White, and Marty Frommer, all from Amnesty Local 48, for joining us. And let's encourage President Obama on January 11th to shut down Guantanamo.
Well,
thank you so much,
we
Emma.
The three M's, really thank you, Emma.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on Prison Pipeline.
Yeah,
thanks for
having
us.
Have
work.
A good night.
Great program.
Work.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.